This is Novel Marketing. I'm James L. Rubart.
And I'm Alan Arnold.
I'm Thomas Umstead Jr.
And this is the show for novelists who hate marketing but still want to become best-selling authors.
And in this episode, we're going to talk about how to find an inspiration oasis in a creativity desert. And we're joined by a special guest, Alan Arnold.
Alan Arnold, who I am thrilled to have him back with us, one of the brightest men I know in the publishing industry. He was the senior vice president and publisher at Thomas Nelson for 10 years and worked for 10 years before that at Thomas Nelson. So he had 20 years of experience working in the publishing industry, worked with over 500 authors. Before that, he worked for some of the largest ad agencies in Dallas. So here's a guy that understands marketing, understands authors, understands publishing, and he's actually doing some writing himself. So thrilled to have him back.
So Alan, I see a lot of authors who are feeling frustrated with their writing journey, or they're feeling alone as they're writing, and they feel like they're in this creativity desert, or this just writing desert. So what kind of deserts can an author fall into during their journey?
Great question. And yes, after working with about 500 authors over those years, you see a certain number of them, probably I would say close to 90%, are either in a desert or trying to come out of one or about to fall into one. And there's four or five.
It's pretty discouraging.
Well, it's a heads up. It's a heads up. It's good to know, because if you assume you won't, you're going to find yourself in some of the worst deserts. And I think that ideally what you need to know is, one, it's normal. You're going to be in deserts at times. But two, there's ways to get out of those creative deserts. And so it doesn't just affect the person who wants to become successful as a writer. It really affects all writers, all creators. And that's why I refer to them as creative deserts, because it's unique to people who are pursuing a creative field.
Now, wait a minute. Are you saying even after you get the contract, even after you get the book published, there's deserts after that?
Oh, I'm saying some of the biggest deserts are there that people fall into after they experience success. And so I'd love to just talk to you guys about some of what those deserts are, because I think the listeners will quickly identify with at least one of these, if not more.
No matter where they're at on their journey.
And the first is what I would call the desert of lost dreams. And just refer to it that way, because and by the way, this is something that you can be in whether you've had success as a writer or not, if you're just at the beginning of your career. Because if you're at the beginning and you feel like nobody wants to buy what you're selling, nobody wants to embrace that story, I'm never really going to achieve my dreams, that's one way to enter into that desert. The other way is, though, you're a best-selling author and you're hooked on the adrenaline, you're hooked on the praise of that success, but you're still not sure you're going to be able to keep it. You're not sure the next book is going to follow through. So there becomes this striving, there becomes a weariness. And you know, the goal to avoid, I think, this desert, if you find yourself either as a first-time author, when you hope to be a writer, or you're a best-selling writer, is really to try to figure out what is the goal for your writing. You've been called into this. What is it that would make your dream come alive? And when you really lay that, name it, and lay it on the table, then it's easy to go, wow, I'm kind of chasing the wrong thing, or I'm looking to something to give me my identity that never was meant to give me my identity. Or you say, you know what? No, this is actually a worthy dream. And now I know how to try to achieve it better. But many people find themselves in that just discontent, lost dreams desert. And I had to work with a lot of authors through that. And it took a lot of in-person, sometimes flying to where they lived and having coffee or lunch and really working through that.
One of the things that I see, because we see this as well on the marketing side at Author Media, and I call it destination fever, where you're so focused on the destination that you're not enjoying the journey. And the problem is that you never get to that destination because it's always one more thing. It's like, oh, if only I could get an agent, then I would be happy. Then you get an agent and you're like, oh, if only I could get published. And then you're like, oh, if only I could get a good advance. And then you're published and you have an advance and you're like, if only my book would sell.
It's right.
Like, there's always one more thing. Yes. And so it's suddenly you're like, if only it'd be a bestseller. And then if only it'd be made into a movie. If only it'd be made into a good movie.
Yes.
And then everything happens. You have this great movie and it's, you know, all your dreams. And then you're like, if only lightning could strike twice and I could prove that it's not a fluke and it starts all over again. And the key that I encourage is you got to learn to enjoy the journey. You know, the writing journey is the hero's journey, which yes. means lots of suffering.
Yes. Well, and Thomas, you're describing what I think is this desert of discontent. And one of the authors who I had a chance to work with the most when I was in my publishing career, good friend, very talented person, but totally living in a land of discontent. And there's this story that is vivid to me of we were at a dinner, and this is after working together for 7 or 8 years, and I'm trying to be gender neutral in my discussion here so to not say she or he in this, but with this author having dinner, and my heart for that author was, you really need to be content. You need to be satisfied with the immense success and victories and fandom that you have achieved. You need to enjoy that. And the author just looked at me, and we had had this discussion numerous times, and the author just looks at me from across the table, and I'll never forget, he just says, I hear you, and I never want you to ask me this question again or bring this up, because I am totally satisfied with being totally unsatisfied. And that is the fuel that drives me. And I knew in that moment that those 8 or 9 years of publishing together were about to fade away, because I did not want to be part of that. I did not want to, for somebody who can only be fueled by discontent, that's a pretty miserable way to create, in my opinion. And so that's the desert of discontent. And it's a very real one. It's one that many authors, they see it as almost, it's almost like a spirit of discontent. Everything I've written before is crap, and it's the next thing that's going to be really good. And while I'm writing it, it's the best thing ever. But then when I finish that, well, I look back and no, everything, that's kind of crap. And it's the next thing. And so it's this constant, how do you expect a reader to be excited about your works if you are totally discontent with those same works within a few months of writing it?
Yeah.
It's a miserable way to live.
You know, it makes me think, go ahead, Thomas.
I was going to say, and it poisons your writing too. If you're unhappy as a writer, that's got to convey subtly through your writing. And it keeps you from hitting your potential.
Well, you hear story after story. If you read biographies of successful people, the definition meaning have achieved a lot of fame or money. A lot of these entrepreneurs who have hit it big will say, oh my gosh, the best years were when we were eating pizza on top of a cardboard box and we didn't know if we were going to be able to pay the rent next month. There's something so pure and exciting and vibrant about that time. And here I am, we're doing this podcast at a writing conference that I came to for the first time in 2006, so 8 years ago. And I was a brand new writer. I knew nobody. All I had was dreams of being published. And now I'm coming back 8 years later and you know, have achieved the dream. And I'm looking back on those days with fondness.
Yes.
With fondness.
Yes.
And not that I'm saying I don't like where I am now. I do. But if you were at that beginning stage, I just want to reiterate what Alan said. Enjoy these days.
Enjoy the journey.
Yes.
I get to hear a lot of authors complaining about deadlines, you know, because their book deadlines, why their website, you know, they can't get us whatever it is we're needing for the website. And they're just so unhappy about the deadline. Sometimes I'm like, just remember, you're living the dream. It's like, do you know how many authors who would kill to have a deadline with your publisher?
Right. Well, and Thomas, especially, you know, you bring up deadlines. And for writers who, they live in the world of words, watch your words. Deadline, sound, it has the word dead in it. You know, it's by connotation a negative. You also hear writers say, I'm just buried. Well, it's hard to bring much life to your words if you're naming yourself with words of dead and buried. Like, you're in this because it's your calling. So yeah, sure, there's a timeline for when your manuscript's due. But right, enjoy that, savor that. Don't try to look at it in ways that make you discontented.
I was working on one of my novels, and Alan left a voicemail for me that was just so powerful. It was simple, but it was so powerful. He said, hey Jim, remember, as you're writing this thing, boy, don't forget to have fun while you're doing it.
Absolutely.
Don't forget to have fun. And that was so invigorating.
Well, and guys, another desert, just to bring up one or two more. One is, to me, the desert of self. And let me say this, writing can feel very lonely and isolating, but when you buy into that, that yes, I'm in a lonely profession, it's easy to shift everything to self because you feel like it's all up to you. You're the only one there. And there's a lot of, I think, ego or pride that comes into that. And it's one of the quickest ways as a publisher that would turn me off from a writer is when I realized, boy, they're no longer a person that the team wants to work with. They're no longer somebody who is fun to engage with or go on this journey with, like you were saying about having fun. Well, when it's all about you, there was a writer I used to do book tours with, and we'd be on the book tour, and so we would have 6 or 7 bookstores we'd stop at in a day in a different city, and in the meantime, we're in a car together, the two of us, writing. Well, with this author, it literally was all about the author.
Diva alert.
The whole time. It was, how can I spend more money on the author? It was how to get the books to be a bigger bestseller. And I realized after a few days, this writer really could care less about me. There's no relationship. I'm not even sure the writer knows if I'm married or has a family, you know, because it's all about that writer. It was a bottomless pit. And so if you find yourself hyper-focused on you, and by that also, I mean, if you're always checking, if you do have books out there, your Amazon ranking, your reviews, you're constantly in this state. It's hard to tell very good stories in that state, and it's hard to have a team that wants to come around you and ever help you become the writer that you could be.
And there's a very big difference between checking your Amazon ranking to put it into a spreadsheet to see if your marketing's working and checking your Amazon ranking to for affirmation and for fulfillment and for value. It's like, you know, I will feel good about myself if I have a 4-digit Amazon ranking, but I will feel terrible about myself if I have a 6-digit ranking. And so most authors, I'd say, are just checking it to feel better.
Right.
And they're not doing anything with that data. There's no learning. There's no marketing value, which is really unfortunate because that could be very useful if, you know, you put it into a spreadsheet and we're experimenting with, you know, marketing strategies or something.
Knowledge is good. Knowledge is good until it becomes self-consuming. Absolutely. And then one more, guys, if I can bring up one more.
Yeah.
It would just be a desert of striving. And striving, I think for somebody who is creative, it takes the lifeblood out of your creativity when you're striving. And that really begins with a subtle agreement of, it's all up to me. It's all up to me. If I'm at a writer's conference, I have got to make these appointments. I've got to get in front of these people. And there's on the surface, there's nothing wrong with meeting with people, and there's nothing wrong with being excited. When it kicks into striving, though, when you constantly feel like you are pushing the boulder uphill, the problem is it's all about doing, and you forget that it's supposed to be about being. Like, I think people create the most when they're in a state of being, where they're not all about productivity, they're not all about striving, they're not afraid. I was with one author a few weeks ago, and she was telling me she has written about 50 novels, best-selling writer, and she's ready to kind of not slow down in terms of not writing, but just breathe a little more. But she looked at me and she said, I don't think I can, because if I don't write 2 novels a year, I'm afraid where I've gotten is going to start eroding. Oh my gosh, you know, this isn't somebody who wants to break in, who's striving. This is somebody who's experienced huge success. And now it's almost a fear of, I can't stop.
Wow.
Because if I get off the treadmill, I may not be able to get back on again in the right way. And so my encouragement, how to get out of that desert, is realize it never was all up to you. You cannot control the universe and everything in it to make things go exactly like you want. So you've been invited into a great calling, a creative calling. Now, enjoy it, quit striving, realize that there's a higher purpose perhaps to your calling than just you. And that's the first step to kind of getting out of that terrain. I used to have a Chinese proverb on my desk that I had written down that said, the one who says it can't be done should get out of the way of the one already doing it. And that fueled me. And I look back at that and I go, man, what a toxic way to live. What a toxic way to live. So that's a big desert to avoid.
Okay. So I realize I'm in one of these deserts. You know, we have a few minutes left. What advice do you have for me? You know, I feel, because these deserts lead to, you know, writer's block.
Right.
So if you're not in that good place, it's hard to find that creative flow. And so what would you say to the authors? Like, yes, one of those deserts that you mentioned, that's me. What do I do?
Yep. Well, first, recognizing where you are is the first way to get out of where you are. So you have to know, here's the desert I'm in versus just I'm in a funk or man, life stinks. So knowing the desert you're in, naming it is the first step. And then from there, to me, a lot of that depends on what I would call the horizontals in your life, the friends in your life, not necessarily other writers, but people in your life who are close enough, who you can talk to and who can actually help you, who can either lift you up when you're feeling down and bring a reality check, or who can pull you down when you're a little bit self-consumed and say, hey, really, it's not all about you. Right. And both of those are good things. Lift up and pull down, depending on where you are. But it's the horizontal, I call them horizontals, but it's that close band of one, two, three friends who are not impressed that you're a writer, who are there to bring reality to the situation. And then the third, I really think, is just spend more time being instead of doing. Hmm. The hardest things for productive, creative people sometimes is to breathe. And so find that time in your day where you forget about word count, you forget about your rankings or your lack of having an agent, and you breathe and you just sense, what is the deeper reason I've been invited into this calling? And now, how do I be true to that versus trying to make things happen all the time?
Yeah. And one thing I'd add, as well as the horizontals, is the vertical.
Yes.
You know, if you're the biggest thing in your universe, you're in the wrong universe. You know, it's like sometimes it's beneficial to take a step outside at night, look at the stars and realize, okay, there's something bigger out there. And, you know, for me, that's, you know, faith in God, you know, it gives some perspective. Yes. And it's like, all right. And an understanding of history. It's like, all of my problems, you know, pale when I start understanding, there's 5,000 years of history. And if I look at the challenges people face, you know, compared to the bubonic plague, these first world problems that I'm having with my computer not working are really kind of pale in comparison. You know, most of my friends are still alive right now. You know, yes. I'm not wondering who's going to die tomorrow.
Well, and on the vertical, it's such an excellent place to go, because if you've been called into writing, that implies there's a caller. And so if you've been called to be a writer and there is somebody who's called you into it, it's probably not on the horizontal level. It is a deeper calling that I think you have to at some point come to terms with of, if I'm creating, is there an ultimate creator that's inspired me to do this? And if so, how do I create within that knowledge?
Alan, I got to thank you again for coming on. Thomas and I have loved having you here, and we're probably going to grab you again someday and bring you back.
That'd be awesome. Love it.
This episode of Novel Marketing has been brought to you by Author Media, makers of My Book Table, a WordPress plugin. If you're wanting to show off your books on your website in a way where they rank on Google like crazy, where people Google your book title and you outrank Amazon, and then you get the affiliate money for sending people to Amazon, that's not just a way to sell more books, it's a way to make more money with the books that you do sell. And you can check that out and try it for free at mybooktable.com or at authormedia.com.
And we always love it when you do two things. One, we love it when you send us a question. We do a Q&A episode every now and again, and we'd love to tackle your question. And also, if you have a moment, tell someone else about the Novel Marketing Podcast.
This has been Novel Marketing, giving you novel ideas on how to promote yourself and your writing online, offline, and everywhere in between.